Well, good morning or afternoon at this time. Thank you, Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, I want to open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to talk a little bit about the resurrection as we are in this continuing season of Easter currently until we head back into ordinary time. And let me tell you, the resurrection is for ordinary time also. Normal Christianity. Amen. Beginning in the first verse, this is Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, that's Peter. Cephas is the Aramaic word for stone, like Petras was the Greek word for stone. And for some reason, he likes using it here. He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. He means died. He then appeared to James and to all the apostles. And last of all, to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, and yet not I, but the grace of God with me. We'll stop there for now. As we look back over this, you know, we all know Paul had this violent encounter with the grace of God on the road to Damascus, right? He got knocked off his donkey. Jesus appeared to him. He references that a little further down. And last of all, to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. That's what he's talking about, is in that encounter that Jesus showed up and said, Paul, why do you persecute me? He said, Jesus takes it personally when you go after his body. He didn't say, why are you persecuting the church? Why are you killing these Christians? No, why do you persecute me? How can he say that? Well, beloved, you've been grafted into the very person of Jesus. If they come against you, they come against him. Amen?
Amen.
He goes through the laundry list of appearances. I mean, after the resurrection, he appeared, made it known that he was alive. I think it's funny, Paul calls himself the least of the apostles and not fit to be called one because he persecuted the people. But he doesn't let that define him, right? So often, we let what we've done in our life define us. We let that become our identity. That can't be your identity because you're not your own. You were bought with a price. Your identity has changed. Amen? You were woven into the fabric of his very existence, not just at the cross, but before the foundation of the world when the Lamb was slain, in order that you could have union with God, that you could exist in this relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit in the person of Christ. You are not the sum of your actions or your former life or your sin or your shame. That has all been taken care of. Your identity now must be, if you want to be a successful Christian, if you want to experience the real presence of Christ in your life, I mean, he's there whether you realize it or not, but if you want to experience that, you have to start from the place of, my identity is wrapped up in him. There's an old, it's a song we used to do when I was in Bible school, at a Bible school in Oklahoma, and the particular kind of gospel music comes out of that part of the world. It's a song called Wrapped Up, Tied Up, Tangled All Up in Jesus. Amen? And that's the truth about you and me. You've been wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in Jesus. You cannot be separated from him, Paul says. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Jesus is the love of God. Amen? So he goes on, even though he's acknowledging, I was the least of these. I was a sinner and no man, right? But he carries on here. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. What is he? He is in union with the one who spoke all things into being and holds all things together. And by grace, child of God, so are you. By the grace of God, you am what you am. And Jesus is what the Father believes about you. That's good news. He carries on with this, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain. You see, Paul went on to make the devil eat it, right? For using him, for being used by the enemy to persecute the church of God and kill countless Christians. He made the enemy regret that he did that. He went on to write 2/3 of the Bible we read from. 2/3 of the New Testament, Paul wrote, the one who was the least of these who persecuted the church. He goes on and says, and this is obviously still in humility because he's not being prideful here, but I labored even more than them all, yet not I. I mean, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, right? That's a lot of work. He went all around these places and ministered in person and from jail, you know, to the Christians of the world. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Do you understand that you do nothing in and of yourself? You know, the beloved disciple John talks about in his gospel, quoting Jesus, that I do nothing of my own accord. I only do what I see the Father do, and I only say what I hear the Father say. Well, Paul's emulating that, and so should you, because you've been united with the one who does that, so that you can live your life only doing what you see the Father doing, and only saying what you hear the Father saying. That will keep you out of trouble. Amen? You know, Bishop talks about, you know, Christians just giving the world a piece of their mind. Well, I'm sorry, sweetheart. Peace ain't doing you a lot of good. What do you think it's going to do for them other people? Nobody needs a piece of your mind. They need the mind of Christ, which you've been united with. So give them a piece of his mind. What is that? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, against which there is no law. Amen? Yet not I, but the grace of God with me, or in me, could be translated. It's by the grace of God in you that you do anything here, certainly anything well. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach and you so believed. Now, if Christ, now he goes on here when we're talking about resurrection, remember I led with that. He's talking to a group of people in the church in Corinth who were speaking against the resurrection. They didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. So he goes on here to demonstrate the absurdity by being absurd, okay? Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some of you say there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. You got to remember, the excuse would be that, oh, well, he was God. He was the Son of God. So that was all a play, and he didn't really do all that, and it was just a... No, he was a man. The Son of Man was the title of the Messiah. He took on your humanity, came here as a man, anointed and infilled with the Holy Spirit, to live his life as an example to you and me of how we live our life as anointed men and women of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith also. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. He's trying to get their attention here. Be careful what you say. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If there's no resurrection of the dead and Christ has been raised, then there's no hope for anyone. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are all men most to be pitied. And he goes on to turn it back around. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. Now, how does that fit in space and time? He's the first fruit, the first resurrected, but he's not the first one in the book that we read about that was resurrected. Lazarus was just a week earlier raised from the dead. You understand the cross? The event we call the incarnation, which is everything wrapped together, him taking on your humanity, being born, raised, walking out his life, crucified, dead, buried, resurrected, and ascended, that all bookends, we call that the incarnation event. You realize that that transcends space and time. Otherwise, how could he say the lamb slain from the foundation of the world? That's before space and time. You understand the cross is bigger than any moment you experience in your life? anything you're locked into temporally, the cross has already touched it. That's how Jesus could stand in front of that tomb and say, Lazarus, come forth. Because in the mind of the Father, he'd already been resurrected before the clock started ticking. You see, the Father made a way before you needed one. You were saved before you were lost. The answer was made for you. Now it's up to you to cooperate with that. You could reject that. You could decide to spend eternity separate from God, knowing that his presence is with you, but you can't experience it. Because remember, it's not that God is not there. It's that you have no union, no relationship, no place to connect with him. That's hell. Forget about the fire and the torment and all that. That's bad enough. The fact that you can't embrace the one who died for you, that's hell. That's why it's important for us to be Christ to the world. Because the Father doesn't want that for anyone. He didn't just die for a select little group of people in Israel or this church or that church, insert your label here. No, he was slain for the world, for all of humanity. In Christ, all humanity has been redeemed. Now, is all humanity going to experience that? Sadly, no. Can they? Yes. And he's not trying to keep people out. He's giving every opportunity for people to come to the knowledge of him. Even in the twinkling of an eye, as they leave this place, I believe with all my heart that he presents himself to them and says, how about now? You believe now? I can't prove that, and you can't stone me for saying it because you can't unprove it either. But I know I'll know one day. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all are made alive, but each in his own order. Christ with the first fruits, after that those who are Christ at his coming, then comes the end when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, and he has abolished all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that will be abolished is death. Do you understand how important resurrection is? That's why we celebrate it the way we do. Not with bunnies and eggs. Those things are fine. I like, they both taste good to me, okay? However, we celebrate the fact that we've been grafted into him, no longer able to be separated, experiencing full union. Hear me, full union with the Father and the Holy Spirit. If that's not real in your life, it can be. Practicing his presence in our life will bring you the knowledge of that union. It will bring you experientially what it is to be grafted into him. That's my prayer for you today, and that you understand how important the resurrection is. What he's talking about here is he was speaking against those who argued about resurrection, and know that you are loved. You are not alone, and you can do all things in this life by what Paul just said here, the grace of God in you. Amen. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.